Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And today we have a guest in studio. He is Jack Langley. He is the Senior Vice President of Gershwin Mortgage. We like to refer to him as the mortgage guru.
Yes,
because
indeed.
Jack is very knowledgeable. But we hope that today that you walk away with some very interesting thoughts on mortgage, because we're going to talk all things mortgage and interest rates and all those burning questions you have about that topic. So
welcome, Jack.
Thank you. Yeah.
Great to have you here.
Thanks for joining us.
I wondered if there would be a day I'd make it back here.
You've been here
about a year and a half.
And
I'm glad
to be here. Thank you. We love the studio.
We do.
It's amazing.
We love working with your group.
Yeah.
Well, we put it together for the agents that we work with, so we appreciate that.
We appreciate that too.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners, just kind of give them a short resume, if you will, of what your background is.
So I've been in the mortgage world about 28 years. Got started a very long time ago now, it feels like. I've done everything from underwriting subprime type mortgages to being a wholesale rep where you go around and talk to all the different companies. Got kind of tired of both of those things and wanted to be more out, you know, meeting with customers, helping customers do stuff. So I got on the origination side and been doing that forever. My wife has been a licensed loan originator for probably 25 years. Both of our boys, my stepson Kyle, he's been doing it probably 8 or 9, and then my son Andrew, he has been here 6 or 7 years. So it's been a really good thing for my family and myself. I just absolutely love it. Gershwin Mortgage has been around forever. I think this year we're celebrating our 70th year. Wow. And I've been with them for 17 years. And they are a privately held mortgage bank, which means that we underwrite our loans ourselves. We process all of our stuff. We use our own money to fund the loans. And we have it to where, you know, our focus as a company is taking care of that customer. Mm-hmm. First time home buyers, you know, they go through this whole process where they excited to buy a home. They want to go look. But then they really start going, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to make a house payment. I have to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think where I specialize with those first-time home buyers is I want to walk them through the entire process. I want to explain how things work and what to expect and how it should go so that they have a comfort and don't really freak out during the process. Not that it's perfect, because it's mortgages.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, Gershwin has been an incredible company to work with. They have always taken care of all of our people. Just a really good, really good setup.
Yeah.
So.
And you have a great reputation. Angie and I both use you for our buyers, and you always do a fabulous job.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that.
We're always proud to work with you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you.
And you know, it takes a certain kind of person to work with first-time home buyers. I always tell my brand new agents, when you're interviewing lenders, talk to them about what their process is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them want to work with first-time home buyers because that's the feel-good, right?
Yeah.
We always want to help those people who need us the most. And those are those first-time home buyers. But not everyone is geared for that. Not everyone has the patience and take the time to answer the questions, because let's face it, first-time home buyers have more questions than anyone else.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm always amazed because, you know, I say first-time home buyers, but I end up with people that have done it 2 and 3 times, and they'll come back and say, man, you told me more about this process than anybody else I've ever worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I try to look at the big picture all the way down the road. You know, I'll have people call me and say, oh, yeah, I've got this property that I want to hold on to. I would like to buy this new house. You know, what's my down payment requirement? I would explain that to them, you know, maybe 5%. And then they'd say, well, I'm going to sell this other home, you know, and then I'm going to pay down the loan or refinance. And I said, well, what's your end goal? And they said, well, I really just want to pay the loan down so I have a lower payment.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about things like recasting, for example.
Right.
Instead of doing a refinance, because mm-hmm. a recast is, you know, $350. And essentially what you're doing is you're just taking your new balance at where your current interest rate is at and your current term, and that's, they're going to recalculate your payment based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if it makes sense to refinance because the rates have dropped significantly, then yes, that's great. But if not, do a recast. And I'll have people tell, my other guy didn't tell me that. I'm like, well, we don't get paid on a recast.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so most people, unfortunately, are looking, you know, they would like to close a loan,
right.
which I understand, but it's not in the best interest of the customer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love that aspect of it.
Yeah.
So let's get into the hot and heavy of lending right now and what the industry is like in April of 2025. So what are you seeing? What are interest rates? Where are they sitting? What's the forecast? Give us all your good stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, there's so much going on right now
yes.
in our country, as we all know. Regardless of what side of the aisle you sit on, there's just a lot of information that's out there, and you never really know which way. I've always been the kind of person that I don't allow that to affect me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to stop working. I'm going to stop trying to do things. And I spend a lot of time counseling home buyers on, you know, well, I don't know if it's the right time or now. And I explained to him, I'm like, you have to understand something. For as long as I've been in this business, there's never going to be a better time than today.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you buy a property, let's say it's a $300,000 property, and yes, rates are a little bit higher right now. They're probably in the mid sixes. Depends. Like, I locked somebody in Friday at 6.125.
Mm-hmm.
That was a VA loan.
Mm-hmm.
A conventional loan, I think I locked 6.25 or 6.375 somewhere. And it's mm-hmm. all kind of a misnomer that people don't understand. Everybody thinks, what are the rates right now? The rates are driven by several factors. Loan size. Mm-hmm. So Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac introduced a loan level pricing adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that rates were going up and eventually when they drop, everybody would refinance. So it's crazy. Somebody puts 20% down and borrows more money, they're actually going to get a worse rate than somebody, and they have perfect credit, than somebody that puts less money down, doesn't have perfect credit, and is only borrowing $150,000.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. So that's the thing that you know, you have to look at, is what is that individual person's circumstance?
Yeah.
And loan type has a lot to do with it also.
Sure.
So different loans. So those are the kind of things that, you know, you just have to sit down and go through and explain that to the customer to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as getting back to, you know, what I see right now, I'm busy. I really am. And mm-hmm. I'm excited about it. I think that people, you know, took a year or two to kind of say, what's going to happen with our stuff? And I'm going to sit on the sidelines. And I think people are finally just like, look, I just got to get moving and do something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't see housing prices in our area dropping.
No.
It never really does here. Mm-hmm. Like, it affects California and Las Vegas and Florida and different areas. You know, we're seeing prices in like Florida, for example, they're coming down pretty significantly. And it's mainly not driven by, I think, what the rates are doing, but more about not being able to get homeowners insurance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People are really struggling mm-hmm. with homeowners insurance.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think with everybody moving in there so fast, the prices went up a lot very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
But like I said, I'm busy. I'm happy. I want to be busier, but I can't say what the future looks like. Personally, if I go off of what I believe, I think that this whole thing with the tariffs and all of that, I think we're going to get these other countries to kind of come around. I heard over the weekend that that was possibly happening, to where they're going to drop theirs. So we'll see. I mean, I'm sure we're going to have some short-term pain.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let it stop me doing, you know, mortgages.
Right.
No, we can only control what we can control, right?
Exactly.
So, and that's what's in our own backyard. And a couple of things you mentioned there. So first of all, one of the first questions we always get asked is what's the rate? What's the interest rate? And as you said, so many factors go into mm-hmm. that. So if a realtor sort of doesn't necessarily dodge your question, but they don't know exactly how to answer it, is because, first of all, that's your job to have that conversation with them. But also because there are so many factors, you know, credit score and time on, all of those things go into play. So mm-hmm. every individual
situation is different. So if you're looking online and you see that the rate is, you know, 6.5, well, it may or may not be for you. It just depends.
Yeah. And the hard part about that is if you read the fine print, you'll notice with a lot of online companies, they are charging a fee to get that particular rate that they're publishing. Mm-hmm. So when you go online, you'll see, 6.5% or 6% or whatever it may be. And then they'll say it includes a 1.5 origination fee. Mm-hmm. So they're charging money to get that rate. So you're basically buying down that rate.
Right.
And I'm not a fan of that. It increases your closing cost. And I'm not a fan because you're buying the rate down permanently. So let's say that you could be at 6.75 instead of 6.5, and it may change your payment $30 a month.
Right.
Okay. Well, if you spend $3,000 to get that lower rate, you have to take that $50 or $40 or $35 a month or whatever it is. You have to put that in. Okay. How many months until I pay that $3,000 back before I actually realize the savings?
Right.
And with the way rates are right now and what they're hoping that the Fed ends up doing eventually, which I'm thinking, you know, it could be 12 or 18 months from now, they are going to drop rates enough to where everyone's going to want to refinance.
Right.
So if you pay money to get that lower rate, unfortunately, you're never going to recoup that money you've spent.
Right.
And so I'm not a big fan of buying the rate down. Now, there's situations where it does work, but you have to run the numbers.
Yeah. And have you always felt that way? Because when rates went up to almost 8%, we hit 8% a couple of years ago, and we've kind of trickled down over the last 2 years, there was a lot of those incentives, buy your rate down, and that's what every lender,
And that's not a bad way to go if the seller, so if you negotiate that with the seller, and the seller is in a situation where they're like, look, we really got to unload this house. Things aren't moving that fast. And so it's not like you're paying more. They're saying, hey, this is the value of this home right now, but we're willing to take less and pay that. So it depends on that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as always be that way, it's weird because, you know, you learn as you go in your career, you make mistakes, you do things. Mm-hmm. And years ago, I was doing a lot of refinances because the rates had come down. And I had a customer who did an FHA refinance, and then the rates were great, and they refinanced it. Well, then they turned around 6-8 months later and wanted to do it again. Hmm. And so, because the rates had dropped again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I showed them, hey, if you do this, you're going to save this much. It was like $200 a month, and it looked like a pretty good thing. Well, then they turned around and decided 6 months later to sell their home. And they didn't think about the fact that they were rolling all those costs in each time. They were not paying out of pocket. And so their loan balance in this year period where they've refinanced twice and probably spent $5,000 each time, they had increased their loan balance by $10,000.
Yeah. Oh my. Yeah.
And so it really opened my eyes, because what ended up happening is they were upset with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, guys, we kind of talked about this, but I didn't push it hard enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that made me really realize that I have to look at it from the point of view where this is a huge financial transaction for people.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, over those two refinances, they saved like $4,000 or $400 a month when you go from both, but they weren't in it long enough to recoup that.
Right.
And so being a little clearer and explaining, I really try to show them an amortization schedule. I try to show them, you know, if you're going to refinance, don't go back to a 30-year fix. Wherever you're at in your term, start there.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though you have a lower rate, so I really now focus, and I show everybody around here, that's what we need to do, because these people don't understand it.
They don't.
And this is what we do every day. So we really need to look at it like, if I'm the one paying this mortgage, what's the best for me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I've actually lost customers because they've wanted to refinance, and they tell me stuff like, I work for 3M, and they're going to transfer me out in 2 years, and then they want to refinance, and and I show them the numbers. I'm like, you're not even going to recoup. And right. I still want to do it. I need that $200 a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about most of the time. Mm-hmm. It's the savings per month that the buyer is 100%. Hell-bent on, I've got to get that $200 in my pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes that is necessary just to make ends meet, you know. Yeah. What is your general rule of thumb for a refi? And we've not done a lot of refis in the last few years, but we're going to start if interest rates will continue to drop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you tell people?
I am debt adverse, to be honest with you. I lend money every day. Yep. My wife and I, we went through 2008. You know, it was a struggle. It was very hard. I about went bankrupt. I was able to stay in the business. I was able to pay my people. The company we were originally with got shut down. And so I just have always, like, after that, I'm going to have perfect credit. I'm not going to have any credit card debt. Mm-hmm. I'm going to invest. I'm going to do the things. So I've always been debt adverse, and it kind of helps me with my client and talking to them about what's going to be, where are you going to be at now? Where are you going to be at in 3 to 5 years? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say they don't know, but at least I lay that out and show them that. Right. And so with refinance, if you ever go back, if you started a 30-year fixed and you go back to a 30-year fixed, you are throwing money away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not something I've always talked about with people, because I didn't really truly understand how much money you were throwing away. Mm-hmm. So an example, like if you have a 7% interest rate on a $300,000 loan, you may pay $24,000 in interest. I'm using made up numbers.
Sure.
But you may pay $24,000 in interest in that first year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, even if you go from a 7 to a 5, you're still going to end up paying maybe $15,000 in interest. Mm-hmm. Well, you're repaying, because you just started back to a 30-year fix.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're repaying that whole 12 months worth of interest, even though it's cheaper. There's no reason to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not all lenders can go in shorter. Like we can do on a conventional loan, I can do any term. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's paid on it for 2.5 years, I can go, you know, I can go to a 28-year 5-6 month loan. I can do whatever term there
is
a conventional.
Yeah,
I
didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. On a government loan, we have to go the nearest year.
Okay.
So, you know, if they paid on it for 28 years, then, you know, we can go to 27 or, you know, 28 or whatever they're comfortable with.
Right.
But that's my number one is to not go back into wherever term you're in, back to that. The other thing is you're going to skip a payment. And so most people try to roll all that into their mortgage. So all the closing costs in their mortgage.
Right.
And it can be expensive because you're resetting up your escrow account.
Yeah.
Depending on where you're at in the year, it could be a lot of money we have to collect.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, unfortunately, when they get that escrow refund back from their current servicing department, they spend it.
They go blow it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always tell people, look, if we close your loan at the end of the month, we have to collect less daily interest.
Mm-hmm.
If you close at the beginning of the month, we have to collect more daily interest.
Mm-hmm.
And even on a purchase, I tell people, try to close towards the end of the month, because when I'm giving you an estimate on what your closing costs are going to be, I'm thinking not that many days of interest, but it could be an extra $1,000 to $1,500 to their closing costs that no one expected because of when you close. But on the refinance, it's kind of the same thing. You have these costs that are coming up. And if you take that payment you're going to miss, if it closes at the end of the month, let's say it's in May, and then you take your June payment and you bring that to the table, and then you take your escrow once it's refinanced and pay down your mortgage, then you can really figure out what your true cost for the refinance was.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you spent $5,000 but you paid in $2,500, then your true cost is $2,500.
Okay.
And then you take that to your monthly savings, and then that can tell you how many months you need to pay on that before you break even.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's that a
lot.
That makes sense.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff you want to look at. And if your loan officer is just like, oh, yeah, it's a great time for you to refinance, but they're not truly telling you, you know, like if you're in an FHA mortgage, for example, and they say, oh, yeah, we can do a streamlined FHA. But when they pull your credit, normally you go in an FHA if you have a lower credit score, but there's other factors. But if they pull your credit, now your credit's much higher, and then they don't put you into a conventional loan because FHA has mortgage insurance for life of the loan.
Right. Yes.
And so there are these things that people don't look at, and they're like, oh, I'll just put them back in it because streamline's easy. Well, just throw them. But it's not beneficial if you're going to sit there and pay all that money.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of things that we try to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, You brought up closing costs, and I have recently seen some pretty ridiculous closing costs. And can you speak to that and maybe tell them what you guys charge, but also why we're seeing an increase in appraisal fees? And it just seems like every fee and additional
I can tell
fees.
You, we have not increased our lender fee. It's $1,095. It's been $1,095 for 5 years. Mm-hmm. We've not moved it at all. Okay. So closing costs, first of all, closing costs are, there are a lot of things. So it's the lender fee. There's a lot of little third-party things, like we have to pay to have what's called undisclosed debt monitoring. So the day we pull their credit in the beginning until the day of closing, their credit's being watched to make sure they didn't go out buy a car.
Right.
Credit report fees, for example. We used to pull a credit report. It was $30 for a couple. Now it's $230.
Goodness.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
We used to be able to take verifications of employment, and that's where we're verifying somebody's still working there, how much they make, because you can make fraudulent documents, W-2s, paycheck stubs, all that good stuff. And so we have to send that verification of employment to the employer, have them fill that out. Well, most employers now say, I don't have time for that. And so they use a system called the Work Number or Paycor, or there's a whole bunch of different ones. Well, for instance, if you're working at Coca-Cola here in town, they're not going to fill that out. It goes into into this Paycor or into one of them, and then they charge us like $200 to do a verification of employment.
Wow.
So there's a lot of stuff with closing costs that people think, oh, that lender charges the highest closing costs in the world. To be honest with you, a lender doesn't make money on any of those closing costs except their lender fee.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's the only place that they are making that money. Now, that being said, you could have people that are charging, I know people that charge a lender fee, and then they'll also charge a discount. So they're allowed to charge so much to say, oh, you're going to pay for this rate, okay? The reality is that they may be making that in addition to their lender fee. So
got it.
It has to really, it's one of the things I try to be very transparent when I have somebody come in. I'm like, here's our pricing. This is how it works. I'm putting in your stuff. We're going to click it and you're going to see it.
Yeah.
And they're going to see exactly how it works. Because the way rates are, and you guys may or may not know this, but every lender after 2008 had to go in and set compensation for their employees. So we are capped at how much we can make. My loan officers can only make up to $5,000 per transaction. Okay. So that's as much as you can make. It doesn't matter if we do the break off is $333,000 loan. So if we do a $333,000 loan, they are making $5,000 minus any cost that they may have. So some have LOAs, some pay people to do stuff. And so that would come out of that.
Okay.
And then from that down, they're just paid on a percentage of that. So they may close, you may have a $500,000 customer and you send it to me and they're going to put $400,000 down because they closed their house. Well, you're paid on 500, we're paid on 100.
Gotcha.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. So, as going back to closing costs, the increase is because there with technology and with the fraud and everything that was implemented when Dodd-Frank and all of those rules came into play, now we have to do so much more than what we used to do.
Yeah.
And of course, appraisers are like, well, if we have to go back and update this and do that, you know, we can't just do it for $350. We got to charge $550.
Right.
Yeah. And then the lenders, oh, well, I need you to change this because of this. And so,
everything's just went up.
Yeah.
Everything. And I think that's just a good lesson for us. And we try to educate our clients. But if you bought a house 5 years ago, you're going to be surprised at what it's going to cost to get a loan today because just everything has gone up.
Yeah.
So, feels
and
like
insurance. I was going to say, the other thing that's really big right now is homeowners insurance.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It
really
has
changed.
Gone way up.
Yes.
And so I highly recommend that you shop your insurance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People do not realize that a 0.25% interest rate may change your payment on a $300,000 deal $35, $40 a month.
Right.
But you can call 7 different companies and you may have one give you a quote for $6,000 a year or $1,500 a year.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
And
it's so
it's a
different.
Massive change to their monthly payment.
Yes.
People just don't realize it.
Yeah.
I was recently working with a buyer and I think she thought I was really trying to, I don't know what she thought, but every time I said, be sure that you check your insurance rates first. Let's, you know, you're looking at homes with 15 and 20 year old roofs. Mm-hmm. And I really think she thought I was trying to pull the wool over her eyes on something, because she just kept looking at me like, why do you keep talking about insurance? I keep talking about insurance because it's so important. And you're right. 100%. Vastly different in terms of what you may, with the rate you may get. So, yeah.
Well, and not only that, one of the things that people really have to be on the lookout for is, so we, our major claim here in our area is wind and hail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is our major claim to all insurance policies. And so one of the things that people don't realize is these companies are coming out and they say, okay, well, we're not going to have too much of a rate increase, but they'll change the deductible on your wind and hail. So you may have one deductible for like a tornado or a fire, mm-hmm. for the dwelling, mm-hmm. but on the roof, you're going to have another deductible. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. it may be that they say, you know, hey, you have a $5,000 deductible on your roof, but you have a $1,000 deductible on the home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's happening. Yeah. And now they're also changing to which is called ACV, which is actual cash value of the roof. Mm. So it used to be when you had a roof claim, if it was a certain age or years old or whatever, they would come in and they would pay basically for the whole roof to be replaced.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now they're changing that to the actual cash value of that roof the way it is. So how old it is, they're taking all of that out. And when you used to get a $20,000 check to repair your roof, you may now get, after your deductible, you may only get $6,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so really different.
It's very different.
And there's a lot of insurance companies that are not insuring roofs that are over 12 to 15 mm-hmm. years
yep,
old. I've
100%.
Had that happen recently.
Yep. Yeah.
Won't even look at it. Won't
yep.
even bid it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you really have to do your homework and call 5, 6, 7 places to make sure you are getting good information.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's scary how that's the number one thing that's affecting whether I can approve somebody or not, to be honest with you.
Mm, yeah.
Because I can't. You guys say, hey, Jack, we're looking at this property on Smith Street. I can pull up the taxes. I can run numbers based on the purchase price. I can look at all of that and say, yeah, they qualify. But if they've not called and got a quote on homeowners insurance and they're at the top end of what they qualify for, it may kill the deal after we're under contract and people don't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, because if they originally, if I went in and said, okay, that house there should be 180, you know, 180 a month, but the lowest quote they can get is 225 and they're at the top end.
Yeah. Totally changes.
Dead deal.
Dead. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is, well, and the other thing that people don't realize, and this has happened a few times, again, when we're qualifying people and say, what's my max? And we say the max, then they get the quote on insurance and we're like, okay, we're okay. But then it comes back that it's in a floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're adding another $200
a month.
That's
a killer. Yeah.
It's just, So there's a lot of things that come into play. And, you know, it's just like you guys. I tell people all the time, a real estate agent is like, to me, is the hub to a wheel.
Yeah.
All of the little spokes are people like myself, insurance, title, all of that. Mm-hmm. You guys control the whole thing. And when things go bad, whether it's me or title, they're coming after you guys and saying, well, why? This isn't right. You know, and they're constantly calling you, asking you questions about lending.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wait a second, I'm not a lender. But of course, you're trying to take care of your client. And so you're going to tell them the best you can. But it's just like in my world, you know, if things start, I've issued a pre-approval, they go under contract, and then all these weird things happen with insurance, people are now mad at me.
Yeah.
And so that's the tough part about our jobs.
Yeah.
There's so many unforeseen things that we can't control.
So true.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Well, it seems like a good time to take a break and get a word from our sponsors. Great leadership isn't about a title. It's about influence, impact, and the ability to navigate change with confidence. Many leaders struggle to communicate their vision, inspire their teams, and make strategic decisions that drive results. Without the right tools, performance and progress can stall. That's where I can help. I'm Angie Mullings. With decades of experience, I can deliver a dynamic keynote and conduct hands-on workshops that equip leaders to lead authentically and create lasting impact. Ready to invest in a more engaged and high-performing team? Reach out today to schedule a consultation. Welcome back.
We're back.
We're back. All right. And we are here with Jack Langley today. He's the Senior Vice President of Mortgage for Gershman Mortgage. Woo! I didn't know if I was going to get that out.
That's good.
So we've been talking a lot about interest rates. We've kind of covered that. We've talked about the importance of insurance. And so I guess let's give a little advice. You have been giving advice. But we tell people, a lot of people think they should start with us. Like, we're their first call.
Yep.
And, of course, the first thing that we're going to say to them then is, have you talked to a mortgage professional? And if they haven't, then we're going to suggest that they go that route for many reasons. But we want to make sure that they're not looking outside of their price range. And we want to make sure that they understand the mortgage process. So somebody calls you for the first time, and maybe they're not a first-time home buyer, but what's the first tips that you give them?
So usually I just ask them, you know, what's going on? What are you trying to do? What are we just kind of give me a rundown of what you're trying to put together here. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is I really want to make sure I guide them from the very beginning. You know, I had a call last night, probably 7 o'clock at night. A guy living in Virginia wants to put an offer on a house here. And he wanted to know some questions. And so I said, just tell me everything that you have going on and what's up. And so I said, how much equity do you have in your house there? You know, all of these things. He's getting ready to retire, early retirement from the government. He's a government employee in Washington, D.C. Okay. So I just try to ask a lot of questions to find out what's going on, because he was wanting to do a bridge loan, which we can do a bridge loan. Mm-hmm. But the way a bridge loan works is that he would have to take his current mortgage that he has on his house and pay it off through that bridge loan, because the bridge loan has to be in first lien position on both properties.
Okay.
And so I said, what's your rate at on your, and he said 2.75. I said, oh no, we're not doing a bridge loan. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you want to do an equity line of credit? I said, I can easily do a mortgage on this new house, but it sounds like you have enough equity on your home that when you sell that home, you're going to be able to pay this off. And he's like, yeah, no, that's what my plan is. I said, then you want an equity line of credit. If you get approved for an equity line of credit, now you're a cash buyer. So you're putting a cash offer in. Mm-hmm. You don't have to move into that property within the 60, 90 days that's required by the loan. So if you're not going to be here until August, that's fine. You don't have to be here. There are so many advantages. So as a first-timer, not a first-time home buyer, I want to ask a lot of questions, because how you structure what they're going to do can, I mean, that situation could cost that individual on a $590,000 house here thousands upon thousands of dollars a month that is unnecessary for them to spend. Yeah. And so that's one of my things, is whether you're, I know you're going to be an FHA borrower, a USDA borrower, or whatever, I want to find out the whole story so I know how to structure it to make sure that we save them the most money possible.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then we just talk about, you know, people will always ask me, well, what's the difference between you and Rocket Mortgage, for example?
Right.
Not a knock on Rocket Mortgage, but as you both know, as local agents, if you receive five offers and three of those offers are from solid local lenders and one is from, or a couple of them are from out of state or out of the area online companies, and your client asks you, now who do you recommend, or what would you, with your past experience, most people are going to take a local, good, solid local lender over. And it's not against any online company or anything like that. It's just there's so many moving parts, and there's so many things that have to happen on time to make sure that we, one, take care of our client, get them moved in the time on the contract. And things happen. People have to move closings up, and there's all kinds of things that happen that, unfortunately, some companies aren't built to make transition to that.
Right.
And so, you know, for me, when somebody calls me, I'm going to take that time to explain the process. I'm going to take the time to talk about what is necessary, work through any hurdles that we know of, and, you know, be able to make sure that once I pre-approve them, I know we're going to close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and not that there aren't tons of great lenders out there that are new in the business, but your history in this business And you're just explaining what you're looking for in not only a first-time buyer, but the guy that wants to buy a property here before he sells his house in Virginia. You're looking for the best-case scenario to save the most amount of money. And mm-hmm. so these are the questions that any kind of buyer at any age and how mm-hmm. many times you bought a house need to be paying attention to with who they're talking to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot with younger agents. Oh, I want to work with a younger loan officer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fine. That is great. You know, both Andrew and Kyle, they were on my team. Andrew's still on my team. And those two have experience that most loan officers don't, because when you're new in the business,
right.
just like with real estate, you don't do that many transactions your first 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're lucky in to close, you know, 24 deals a year in lending. I don't know on your side of it, mm-hmm. but you're lucky to do that. And 24 transactions in a 12-month period, you don't gain enough experience to see, you know, everything.
Right.
You know, I had months back when we were super busy that I was doing 45 loans a month.
Right.
And Andrew and Kyle are both helping me pre-approve, run through numbers. So they were exposed. And so I understand when somebody says, well, you're an old geezer. I don't want to work with you anymore. But it's just like if I was going to go in and have a surgery. If I had a doctor that's done 10,000 of these surgeries and one that is new, that's not a knock on the new doctor.
No.
But I think I would rather mm-hmm. pick the guy that has a lot of experience. And I'm not life or death. Mortgages are not life or death, but they are huge financial impact mm-hmm. to you. And if you put someone in an FHA loan over a conventional loan, you're going to pay more. With the mortgage insurance, people don't realize you're 3.5% down on an FHA. You're not really getting 3.5% equity in that home because you have upfront mortgage insurance that adds mm-hmm. back 1.75%.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things you have to, you know, explain to people that a newer loan officer wouldn't have the experience to do that.
Right.
So send all your mortgages to me.
Exactly.
No.
Jack, you've mentioned a couple of times that you have a family business.
Yep.
And I have a family business. My daughters work with me as well.
Yep.
Tell me quickly, because we could probably talk about this for a while.
Yeah.
What have you learned from that? What tips would you have for another parent wanting to involve their children in their family business?
Yeah. I have been very blessed. Like, I'm not even kidding. I have an incredible wife. Like, I call her a unicorn. She is this is a hard business. And so there are times when I'll be complaining and just taking it out on her in a way.
Right.
And she just knows that I can't come in here and yell at people. So I'll be like, and she's super cool about it. She's like, look, I know you're frustrated. I know blah, blah, blah. And she just lets it roll off.
Yeah.
You know, the boys, both of the boys, I'm just blessed. I mean, both these guys have never, and I say guys because 27 and 31
mm-hmm.
Men, both of these men have never given us, we've never had, no cops, no nothing.
No jail.
No nothing.
No bail.
No nothing. They show up when they're gonna supposed to show up. I mean, they got good grades in school. I'm just like, I hear all this stuff about other people's kids, and I'm like, God, I'm blessed. I am blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been really lucky. They're both very smart. They're very good at what they do. They take care of the customer. I don't have to yell at them or do anything. I ask Andrew, can you do this and do that? He never, no, I'm not going to do that or whatever. Kyle he's on my team, but he doesn't take care of my stuff. Andrew takes care of my stuff, mm-hmm. and Ashton takes care of my stuff. Kyle's on the team because Ashton helps Kyle with his stuff.
Got it.
So, but we all work together and we all talk about it and we all solve problems together. But I don't know. With my boys, I just knock on wood. I don't have a complaint. I'm just so proud of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what I did to get this lucky. Because I caused a lot of problems when I was a kid. I'm saying there might have been.
There's supposed to be payback.
There might have been time when my dad had come down and get me from the local police.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
That's maybe. Just, you know. That's funny.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I hear people say how tough it is. It is hard because you want the best for your kids.
Yes.
But what has your experience been?
Well, I have girls.
I know.
And so there's a lot of emotion, probably a lot more emotion involved with us women than maybe men. Mm-hmm. So I would say that probably has not helped. Yeah. And Madden is just 24, so she's got a little bit of growing to do to really fit into her role. Mm-hmm. But she's been licensed now for 4 years. And so I think, you know, at 20, 21, was a lot different. Now that I look 4 years later, it was a lot different. So we've had struggles, and we, you know, she continues to grow up in this business.
That was
you
know? It took Andrew till, what, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
That, yeah, so hang in there because, as you know.
So. There's one other topic I want to be sure that we get to before we wrap up. You do a lot of VA loans. You're a veteran yourself, so thank you for your service.
Thank you.
But talk to us a little bit about what makes those loans special, why they're a little different.
Okay. So they used to be very different. And that is a struggle that I deal with a lot of agents that have been in it a long time and used to the way VA used to be. It used to be very stringent on how the house had to be, and it still has its things. Mm-hmm. They're looking for health and safety items. So when you go to look at a home and there's peeling paint on the fascia of the house or peeling paint on the, you know, old wood panels on the home, they're going to request that be, you know, cleaned up or repainted. And depending on the age of the home, so if it was built before 1978, it could have lead base paint, and so they want that to be scraped, but they can't have paint chips on the ground because then the lead could get in the groundwater, and so on. So there's a lot of things about a VA loan that they're trying to protect the veteran on. Mm-hmm. But honestly, why they're so special is it allows a veteran to get into a home with no money down, so it's 100% loan. If the veteran has what's called service-connected disability, meaning that they have lost hearing or a bad back or something that happened while they were in service, then they would they waive the funding fee. So the VA has no monthly mortgage insurance, but it does have a one-time fee that gets added onto your loan. Mm-hmm. So the first time you use it, it's 2.3%. So if you buy a $100,000 home, you're actually financing $102,000, so $2,300. Is that funding fee.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
That goes to the VA, and that's what they use for, they gather all that money up, and so if they have a claim, like if a veteran gets foreclosed on, the VA is guaranteeing the lender 25% coverage. So if I do a $100,000 mortgage and they get foreclosed on and we can only get $75,000 in a foreclosure sale, then that other 25 grand is coming from the VA to make the lender whole again.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if you have that foreclosure as a veteran, you lose that portion of your eligibility. Mm. That does not mean that you can't do another VA loan. It just means that you lose that portion. And it's kind of a crazy calculation the way you have to do it. But you have to, if you lose that portion, generally, not every time, but generally you have to buy over $144,000 because you've lost at least your basic entitlement.
Got it.
And then there's what's called bonus entitlement that puts you over that amount. The VA loan, another thing that people don't realize is the VA allows the seller to pay all allowable closing costs, regardless of the percentage. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't. There's no percentage. In addition to another 4%. Hmm. So you can pay all of the closing costs in addition to another 4%. One of the things that's not necessarily unique to VA, but it's kind of a cool thing, and hopefully it's still going on, is let's say I have a customer that has $2,500 on an auto loan and it's a $450 a month payment on the auto loan, and the seller really wants to sell their property and they've got enough concessions to be able to do this, the seller could actually pay off that auto loan for the borrower to qualify, and then we can not have to count that payment in their debt to income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and there is a rule on that with most loans, that if you have 8 or less payments on installment loan, you don't have to count that. But the problem is that's not a set in stone one, because if you have a $1,000 a month car payment and you have 8 payments left, you know, that $1,000 is a huge impact to your monthly bill. Right. So they're going to say, no way, that's got to be gone.
Yeah.
So there's just certain circumstances that, the other thing that's unique, well, no, I don't want to say unique. I'm lucky enough that we have two VA underwriters right here in my office.
Nice.
They have full lending authority from the VA, so they don't have to do what's called prior approval. And I think I'm the only one around here that has two VA underwriters in our office here locally. It really is helpful because we do a lot of VA loans. What else? A lot of people think they have higher closing costs than any other loan. They don't. The only thing the VA requires is that there's always a pest inspection done on the home.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if there is a well, just a water sample to make sure the water is good to drink.
Right. Mm-hmm.
VA is unique because they don't care how many people's on a well. Unlike FHA and USDA that only allow four houses, VA doesn't care if there's 12 houses as long as there's sufficient water for that home.
Right.
And so that's a question that the appraiser has to ask is, you know, is there sufficient water there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They used to be really sticklers on private roads, but they have gotten away from that.
Yeah.
They'll allow an easement for that. There's just a lot of stuff that used to happen that they've really come around and made it to where it's a lot more real estate friendly.
Yes. Yeah. On this side, we are so happy about that.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Yeah. Those road agreements trying to get 10 neighbors to agree to sign a document for one person's loan.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing difficult. The thing that was unknown that we've done forever, and a lot of lenders may not even know about it, to be honest with you, VA didn't require that all of the parties on the private road agreement sign or fill out anything. All VA required was that the veteran sign an agreement saying that they would take care of the road for emergency vehicles.
Mm.
So the actual private road agreement was never about get everybody on there, but everybody asked for that.
Yes.
Because they didn't understand that VA's real guideline was that they just wanted to make sure that if a tree fell over the road, that somebody would clean it up so an emergency vehicle could get out there. It was never about maintaining potholes or doing any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody thought, and even I thought that until thankfully I've got two really good underwriters and I ask a lot of questions and we call the VA. Yeah. We've got a really good direct connect at the VA that we get a lot of good answers from. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good. Awesome.
Well, we're going to wrap this up, Jack.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Well,
we appreciate you. We appreciate your studio that you let us record in.
Yes.
Love it.
And all the good information. Obviously, I think if people listen to this episode, they're going to see how knowledgeable you are about your profession. Mm-hmm. And hearing from you today has really reminded me of, you know, multiple things that Angie and I just, in our everyday practice, we need to be reminded of, you know.
And I learned some things.
Absolutely.
I
did
too. A couple of things. Yeah. So,
Well, I tell everybody, even if I'm not doing your loan and you have a question, please call me. I'll help you any way I can.
Yeah, I love that.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah,
really
absolutely. Thank you so much for listening. And if you know someone who's getting ready to buy a home, we hope that you share this episode with them.
And make sure you share and follow us on social media. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.